Women of Strength, if you have been with us for a while, you have likely heard me talking about our favorite prenatal and supplement company, Needed. I am excited to share with you something new to Needed. Needed Academy. It is a place where people can find free, yes, I said free, how cool, right? They can find nutritional education taught by leading women's perinatal health experts from OBGYNs, midwives, doulas, and nutritionists. I highly recommend checking it out. To learn more, visit neededacademy.com, or you can check out the link in the show notes.
Hello, women of strength. This is Megan, and you are listening to the VBAC Link podcast. I am so happy that you are here. Normally, we have episodes that are filled with VBAC stories, CBAC stories, and guests sharing educational pieces on VBAC. However, today, I'm going to do a quick episode for our first-time mamas out there. For years, we have had people write in a review saying things like, oh my gosh, I wish every first-time mom listened to these stories, or this is not only for VBAC moms or VBAC hopeful parents. This is for anyone who is giving birth, or again, going back to the first-time mom, people saying, I wish as a first-time mom, I heard these stories and learned this education because I truly believe it could have helped me avoid my cesarean. So women of strength, if you know someone who is expecting, or if you are a first-time mama listening on how to avoid unnecessary and undesired C-sections, listen up. This is going to be an episode specifically for you. As always, I have a review of the week, so I'd like to dive into that, but then get back into what first-time mamas and what our community wants first-time mamas to know. Today's review is from Emma Lynn, I don't even know how to pronounce the last name, but Emma Lynn, and it says, uplifted and educated. It says, I have been binging on this podcast since I found it a couple weeks ago, and I'm addicted. As I prepare for my HBA2C, so for the listeners that are new, HBA2C means home birth after two cesarean. I have experienced so much healing and inspiration through hearing these stories after two attempts for vaginal deliveries with my first two kids. One, preeclampsia, hospital birth, and HBAC, home birth after cesarean, transfer to the hospital. The content they provide is diverse, thoughtful, and inclusive. There is so much stigma around home birth and VBAC, and this is the first and only community, plus the Facebook group, I've found to truly be welcoming and non-judgmental. I feel like this is going to be an instrumental tool to my birth prep for my baby coming this Christmas Eve. You guys, I could not agree with her more. This is a place where we want you to know that you are safe, that you are heard, that you are understood. We in no way, shape, or form believe that there is only one way to birth. There just simply isn't. We just want you to know your options and feel empowered to make the best decisions for you along the way. So if you are one of these first-time mamas listening today, I am so excited that you are here, and I do encourage you to continue going on through all the other episodes. Women who are sharing their stories likely have had a cesarean before, and I think this is such a great opportunity for you to learn how to avoid a cesarean by listening through others who have come before you and have given birth and have also learned along the way. I'll tell you right now, my first baby, I was not ready to give birth. Although I felt ready, all I knew is I was pregnant and I was going to have a baby and I could not wait. But there was so much more that I didn't know that I wish I knew. And I have learned throughout the way, and I'm going to be sharing some more experiences with you along with, like I said, really tips from our own community members. You guys, I reached out on Instagram and asked for tips for first-time moms, and I'm going to go over some of those tips along with learning how to avoid cesarean and unnecessary interventions. Here we go.
Hi, my name is Megan. Welcome to the VBAC Link podcast. I am a VBAC after 2 C-section mama, a wife, doula, and VBAC educator. This podcast was created to hold space for those wanting to know their options for birth after cesarean. It is a space where you will likely find yourself getting better educated, relate to stories like your own, and finding the inspiration to help you have a better birth experience. Although we will be sharing stories related to cesarean and VBAC, this podcast is for anyone and everyone who wants to receive evidence-based information and learn how to avoid unnecessary or undesired cesareans. The purpose of this podcast is to educate and inform. It is not meant to replace advice from any other medical professional.
Okay, everybody, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining me. If you are new to the podcast, my name is Megan Heaton, and I am a VBAC after 2 C-section mom and a doula who wants to help educate and empower anyone who is wanting to learn more about their options for birth after cesarean, as well as learning how to avoid a cesarean from the get-go. I had a cesarean when I was pregnant with my first. I went into labor at 39 weeks and 5 days spontaneously with PROM, which is called premature rupture of membranes. That is what it means, is my body, you know, it went into labor as far as my water broke, but then nothing really followed for quite some time. Contractions didn't really get going, and labor itself did not start. I, along with many first-time moms, was told that if your water breaks, you go straight to the hospital. So I went to the hospital, and from then on out, it was induction. They wanted to induce my labor and they wanted to intervene instead of just letting my body do its thing. So I started getting Pitocin, and that led to an epidural and unfortunately led to a cesarean. Now, I want to tell you, Pitocin and epidural doesn't always lead to a cesarean, but these are going to be common things that you're hearing in women's stories along this podcast that does seem to impact the end result of a cesarean. With my second, I really wanted a VBAC, a vaginal birth after cesarean, and I went kind of looking more into what it was and what my options were and what I should do. I ended up staying with my same provider, who was a great guy, do not get me wrong, but just wasn't the provider for me. And I didn't learn that until after my second cesarean. But I stayed with him and I went into spontaneous labor again with premature rupture of membranes. This one, it took a lot longer for my body to kick in. And unfortunately, it really never was allowed the time. And I ended up walking down for a second repeat cesarean with that one because I was told that my body just did not know how to do it. This is also another very common thing that so many women of strength are being told. Their body doesn't know how to do it. Their body can't progress. Their pelvis is too small. Women of strength, if there is any pet peeve that I have, it is someone telling another person that their body is not capable of giving birth vaginally. I might sound grumpy about it. Okay, let's be honest. I am. You are capable of giving birth vaginally. So, what are some of the things that I would suggest you do as you are going along as a first-time parent? Number one, I really believe that provider is key. If you have a provider that is on board with your birthing desires, that is going to help you so much during your labor and your pregnancy journey. If you have a provider that is very induction happy, intervention happy, and pushing you to even schedule an induction before you even reach 39 weeks or 40 weeks or 41 weeks, that's a problem. That is a red flag. So take a moment, if you can, go to thevbacklink.com/blog or just click the link here in the show notes and check out how to find a supportive provider. Now, this blog that we have is how to find a provider that is supportive in VBAC, but I really think that all around, it goes in line with any provider, whether you're a VBAC or not. You want to find someone that doesn't put stipulations on when you have your baby and what happens during pregnancy, meaning if they are requesting that you, or demanding that you do multiple growth scans in your third trimester, and there is really no medical reason to indicate the reason to do that, that's a problem. If they're talking about the size of your baby early on, or the size of you and how you look, and wow, you must be carrying a big baby, you're so petite, oh my gosh, there's already doubt that is being placed. As I mentioned, if they are encouraging an induction at 39 weeks or just getting it on the schedule, let me tell you right now, being pregnant at 39 weeks is not always fun. It's not. Being pregnant at 40 weeks, at 41 weeks, it's not always fun. There's a lot of things that go into it. Your hips hurt, you're tired, your pelvis hurts, you're peeing all the time, you can't sleep. Okay, doesn't sound that great, right? But it really is such a great time. And it's a time that we need to cherish and really just embrace. But it's hard. It's hard to do that. It just, that's the facts. It's sometimes really hard to do that. So when we have providers giving us a quote unquote out to give birth sooner, it's very enticing. So I don't shame anyone for taking that opportunity of being induced and picking your baby's birthday, but there are a lot of things that go into that. Now, as a first-time mom, back in 2019, I want to say 2019, a study came out and they called it the ARRIVE trial. The ARRIVE trial is where they had a whole bunch of people, and really actually not even that many people, but a whole bunch of people kind of in two groups. They had one group where they induced at 39 weeks and they didn't always have a quote unquote favorable cervix, favorable versus unfavorable, meaning the cervix was showing signs of readiness to give birth. And so they had these moms in one group that were induced at 39 weeks. And then they had another group that chose not to be induced or to wait for spontaneous labor, but would not let them go past 42 weeks. And there's a lot of things that their goals were to kind of point out and study in this trial, which you can find out more on our blog. It's in the show notes. We'll make sure that we have the ARRIVE trial link in there. But they really wanted to also see what it did for cesarean. So in the induction group, 79 out of 82 people were induced at 39 weeks. The people in the expectant management group, meaning they were waiting for spontaneous, they or didn't elect to induce at 39 weeks. 79 out of 80 waited. Now, 44% of them gave birth spontaneously, and 56% of them gave birth after induction for medical reasons. Now, medical reasons. There are a lot of things people can talk about or providers can talk about why you should be induced. So let's kind of talk about some of the main reasons for an induction or some common reasons for an induction that you'll see. But then always I want you to know that you can question if someone's saying there's a medical reason for you to be induced, question them. It's okay to question them. You are always okay to say no and question. Always, no matter what it is in any medical scene, birth or not birth, you are always able to question and say no or no, thank you. So, what are some medical reasons? Some medical reasons may be preeclampsia. Maybe you're having blood pressure issues or HELLP syndrome where now your liver is being affected. And we've got high blood pressure or elevated liver enzymes, and it really is best for you and baby to be born and to give birth. So preeclampsia may be one. Maybe you've got a unique health condition that it's now impacting your personal health to stay pregnant. That may be a reason for induction. IUGR, intrauterine growth restriction. Maybe your baby is no longer thriving inside the uterus and inside the womb and needs to come out so they can thrive on the outside. If IUGR is happening, that is, a medical reason to consider induction. So those are just kind of a few that we may, you know, that you may encounter some other things, maybe like low fluids. You know, that one can be debatable for sure. It can be serious, or high fluids, just situations that there, I mean, there's so many. It just know that if you have a situation where someone is suggesting an induction at 39 weeks or any at any point due to medical reason, discuss that with your provider. Definitely discuss and question and make sure that you are all on the same page and you are really understanding what the medical reason is for your induction. And don't question or don't fear to question for the evidence saying that induction is the best route. Okay, so the people in the expectant group, like I said, 79 out of 80 waited. 44% gave birth spontaneously, 56 gave birth after induction. So what did this study really show, really, really show about C-section? Well, let me tell you, they really tried to show that it lowered cesarean rates from like 19% to like 22%. But if you really dig into it deeper, it really doesn't say if cesarean really is lowered or not. Between the two groups, there really were no significant difference in birth outcomes for the baby. So again, they showed that maybe 19% versus 22% were less likely to develop a cesarean or have a cesarean. And then they also showed that they were less likely to develop high blood pressure, 9% versus 14%. So, that is a thing. We do know that blood pressure can elevate in the end. But overall, as of 2024, there are really a few studies that have been able to look at the effects of the ARRIVE trial.
I am loving this episode today, but I wanted to take a quick moment to share more about the exciting news of Needed Academy. This free education program on Instagram is for affiliates, ambassadors, practice partners, and you, the curious mom and mothers-to-be. Share this amazing resource with anyone you know wanting to transform their perinatal experience. You will learn from leading health experts on topics like the physical demands of fertility, pregnancy, postpartum, and what our bodies need nutritionally to thrive. Remember, we have learned that 95% of pregnant women are nutritionally depleted. Why women need radically more nutritional support than the status quo delivers. The science and the clinical expertise and the experience behind Needed's products and more. I have personally been taking Needed's products for over a year now, and I really can't say it enough. They are my favorite for so many reasons. I am excited that Needed has done so much work to help us with solid supplements, and now they are offering this amazing academy. So do me a favor, stop the show right now. Just press pause and click the link in the show notes for the academy. Getting started really is so easy. You can fill out the form on the link in the show notes and then head over to @NeededAcademy on Instagram to start learning. Don't forget that Needed is also offering our community 20% off with code VBAC20. So also go check out thisisneeded.com to find prenatal vitamins, hydration support, sleep support, and more. Again, that is thisisneeded.com to get 20% off your order with code VBAC20.
And concluded that the elective induction rate has significantly increased or decreased the cesarean delivery. This is the problem, though. It's being so heavily, and maybe heavily is not the word, it's being done, performed. It's heavily performed all over the world now. After this trial came out, for some reason, we looked at that and we're like, yep, see, it doesn't, or it impacts the low, you know, the cesarean rate. It lowers it. But we're still having a really high cesarean rate, and first-time moms are still having cesareans after induction is happening. So, induction. Women of strength, that is what we call the women who listen to our podcast. If you are being proposed for an induction or being offered an induction, maybe take some steps back, do some research, read our blog, talk about induction methods. There are also a lot of different types of induction methods. Now, I want to also say that coming back to provider, if you have a supportive provider that is willing to induce very gently and understand the process of an induction, especially for a first-time mom whose cervix might not be favorable already, you may have a higher chance of giving birth vaginally. But if you're at a place where they just like to push all the inductions really fast on you, and in just all the things, increase all the interventions, you are going to likely have an increased chance of cesarean. So in 2023, the rate of C-sections in the United States was 32.4%. 32.4%, which is really the highest it's been since 2013, and just astronomically gross, in my opinion. Years and years and years ago, it was 10 to 15%. And even before that, it was like 5%. So we are seeing a peak, okay? We're seeing a serious peak. And what's happening is we're seeing a lot of the times first-time moms will have a C-section for whatever reason. And then people are being told that they cannot have a vaginal birth after cesarean, that the option is now gone. Or they won't even approach VBAC as a topic. It's just for the future, you will have to schedule a C-section. Okay, so now this is another one. If you are a first-time mom who has a friend who had a C-section and doesn't know their option, please share this podcast with them. This is such a great place for them to come and learn and know their options. Okay, so let's dive in. I asked our community, I mentioned that before, what our community members want a first-time mom to know and what they wish they would have known before as a first-time mom. One of our followers, Elizabeth, mentions wait as long as it takes for baby to come and to change positions frequently. Oh my gosh, I cannot agree more. This is what we're talking about, right? Waiting for our baby to come, not inducing unless it really is medically necessary. It's so important to let our bodies do what it is just made to do and is totally capable of doing. Now, change positions frequently. This is something I highly encourage. And as a first-time mom or any mom giving birth, I highly suggest a doula. Doulas are amazing. I know they're not always affordable. And I don't know if you have ever heard of this, but you can go to behervillage.com and you can actually register for a doula. So instead of getting all of the a million onesies and maybe wipe warmers or a million size newborn diapers, you can register for a doula and people can help pay for a doula. It is absolutely amazing. I highly encourage it. Check that out, Be Her Village. But then we also have doulas at the vbacklink.com/find-a-doula. Now they are VBAC certified doulas, but these are doulas who are trained and educated and certified in helping you avoid cesarean. So I highly suggest a doula because they can help know what positions to change to and they can help guide you. But if you don't have a doula, that is okay. Change positions frequently. I mean, like, every 5 to 10 contractions, if you went from hands and knees and you want to stay hands and knees, go hands and knees, but put a pillow or elevate that right leg, that right knee. Change things up because changing the dynamics of your pelvis is going to help bring baby down. One of the main reasons for a cesarean is that babies are in wonky positions or failure to progress or failure to dilate. And that a lot of the time is because the baby is not in a really great position, and movement will help baby get in a better position and help your labor speed along. Okay, our friend Emily says, wait to go to the hospital. I mentioned this earlier that I was told my water broke, go straight to the hospital. Okay, do your research on this. Learn how long to wait, how long is too long. And again, that's kind of where a doula comes into play. They're really, really great at helping guide you, knowing when to go. Emily also, she has a couple tips here. She says, trust your own intuition and what your body is feeling in the moment. I could not agree more. Your intuition is huge. And if you continue listening to this podcast, let me tell you, you are going to hear intuition about a million times. Intuition is huge. You have it. It's amazing and so important to follow. Sometimes we question our intuition and that is hard. Try not to question your intuition. And again, do what your body is feeling in the moment. Emily says, I didn't have a doula and it's my biggest regret. Okay, so we were just talking about that. Doulas are amazing, you guys. I didn't have a doula for my first two, also big regret. My husband was not on board with my second. After I learned about a doula and after having a doula with my third, he said, there is no way we would have another baby again without a doula. They are just incredible, you guys. And there's actual statistics on doulas. They lower the chances of cesarean. They lower the time, like by 45 minutes of birth, which 45 minutes might now sound like a lot, but you guys, 45 minutes in labor, that's impactful. They also lower the chances of induction and interventions, and they can overall help you walk away with having a better experience. Okay, another follower says, trust your body, don't accept interventions. Plans can change and breathe. Love that so much. We have Sarah who says, ask for help, even if you feel fine. I love that. It's okay. Use your voice in labor. Use your voice during pregnancy. Use your voice during that postpartum experience. Even if you think you're feeling okay, it's okay to ask for help. Or if you're having a question that's kind of bobbling around in your brain, ask it. Don't be scared to ask it. Okay, another follower says, be patient with yourself and your baby. Enjoy pregnancy and push with an open glottis. I love that so much. Oh my gosh, that just made me smile. We have a listener or a follower named Ash. She says, be informed so you can make decisions you're happy with and under time. Okay, hold on. Be informed so you can make decisions you are happy with under time and pressure. Okay, this is something, Women of Strength, that we have found through many of these stories, these first-time mamas going through labor who have not had a lot of education, me being one of them, going into birth. And you guys, birth is a very big event. It's a very important day and an impactful day. And sometimes things can change, just like what one of our followers were saying. And plans can change. And that means that sometimes things can be offered to you that you don't really know. You don't really know what's being offered to you. And so you feel like you have to say yes or no, and you don't really know what you're making the yes statement too. And so being informed is so important. We have a blog, thebacklink.com/blog, that shares so much information along with this podcast. And then we actually have a course for parents to learn how to avoid cesarean and how to navigate through labor and avoiding cesarean. So if you are interested in learning how to avoid a cesarean and learning more about what this VBAC stuff even is like, check us out at thebacklink.com. Okay, so Gracie says, don't let your doctor pressure you into unnecessary induction. Kind of goes along with the theme of the first part of our podcast. If you can tell, induction and pressure is something that a lot of first time, even second and third, oh my gosh, many time moms have. Ash says, have a clear but detailed birth plan. And I love that so much. So birth preferences is so important. And as you get informed and get educated, you are going to learn what's important to you, what you want, what you don't want. We actually had a story not long ago that talked about how, you know, as a first-time mom, she didn't realize how much the birth experience meant to her until she didn't have that birth experience. You guys, this is such a beautiful, amazing day. Oh my gosh, it's just incredible. And if you can be informed and you can have that clear birth plan. Now, let me tell you, some of those birth plans, they don't always go exactly as you've written them down. Go in with an open mind, but know your desires and know that the evidence and the information behind those desires and why they're important to you. Okay, M says, be open to birth preference changing. This is just going right along here. Okay, but like we were just saying, sometimes they change and it can be really hard. And I kind of have a sweet and sour view on birth plans, because birth plans are incredible. It helps our team and reminds them what we need and what's important and what we want. But sometimes if we write them down on paper and they don't go as planned, we can view them or view ourselves as failed, or like we did everything and it didn't work, so it failed. So what's the use in trying that again or wanting that again? But I also want you to know that if you can go into it having an open mind, it can help you. It can help you a lot. And knowing again that birth preferences change, it's so important. Okay, so we have a photographer here, LilAVQZ underscore photography. She said, "It's not pain, it's power. Breathe and it will be all over soon." I love that. These contractions, they're powerful. They're amazing. Oh my gosh. Okay, hypnobirthing. Let's see, North Yorkshire. They say, "You are amazing. First time mamas, you are. You are amazing." Everybody listening to this podcast, let me tell you, you're incredible. You are such a woman of strength and you are capable of more than you've ever known. Okay, we have another follower that says, "Give yourself all the grace. You did a big thing. You are a baby's best mama." Birth is amazing, you guys. It is a big thing. And you are incredible for doing it. Another follower says, "Educate yourself and get a doula." The next one also says, "Hire a doula." You guys, hiring a doula, it's a common thing. Like I said, if you are not in a financial means to, or don't have the financial means, check out the Her Village. It is absolutely incredible and can really make it possible for you to have the support that you deserve. Okay, Rachel says a couple things here. She says, "Just because you feel good to do all the things so soon doesn't mean you should. Find someone who will listen to your birth story without interrupting or opinions." Okay, so this is more, for postpartum, you guys. I agree. Take it easy. Even for pregnancy, take it easy. Just because you feel like you can run a marathon doesn't mean you should. Rest up, rest easy, give back to your body, hydrate, fuel with good nutrition. And find someone who will listen to your birth story without interrupting or opinions. You guys, opinions, they will come in all around, even before you have your baby. I mean, here I am, I'm sharing some opinions, right? Just find someone who will listen and validate you. You deserve it. Okay, Lara says, "If you don't want a C-section, listen to the VBAC link. You'll learn so much." Oh my gosh, Lauren, thank you so dang much for that. That is what this episode is all about, to help you learn how to avoid a cesarean. Our friend Jess says, "Eat to replenish yourself from birth and pregnancy. Meal trains are great." Oh my gosh, can't say that enough. If you have not set yourself up a meal train before and you haven't had your baby yet, or even if you have set up a meal train, they are incredible and will help your birthing partners so much. Okay, Julie says, "Surrender, surrender it all. Birth is incredible. You're gonna feel all so many sensations. Even if you don't wanna go unmedicated, you guys, you're still gonna feel amazing sensations that are new and somewhat shocking, but also incredible. You're birthing a baby. It's just absolutely amazing." And then Rachel says, "Do your research, be mentally prepared for either type of birth and recovery, and have a postpartum plan or a birth photographer and take pics." Okay, you guys, such incredible information. I echo all of them. Obviously, we've also been talking about some of those topics. You are strong. You are capable. Don't let anyone doubt you. Okay? Don't let anyone doubt your ability. Keep listening to these stories. These stories are meant for you as well. They are meant to help you learn, to help empower, to help grow. And honestly, one mama at a time, we're gonna see the cesarean rate drop, you guys. We're gonna see it drop. Thank you so much for joining me today. I am absolutely honored that you're here listening to the podcast. And like I said, if you want to learn more about the VBAC link and what we have to offer, along with so many free resources, you can join us at thevbacklink.com. We've got the podcast, the blog, the course, resources, and so much more. Oh, and for kicks and giggles, I want to throw out the fact that we have a supportive provider list. So if you're looking for a supportive provider, whether it's VBAC or not, don't forget to check out our provider list. You can find us at the VBAC link on Instagram and then click our link tree and you'll find the supportive provider list there. Thank you so much and take care.
Would you like to be a guest on the podcast? Head over to thevbacklink.com/share to submit your story. For information on all things VBAC, including online and in-person VBAC classes, the VBAC blog, the worldwide database for VBAC doulas, and more, head over to thevbaclink.com. Congratulations on starting your journey of learning and discovery with the VBAC Link.